Welcome to day 283 of my Everyday Bible. This is Rita Langland from Hidden with Christ Ministries, and today we will be reading Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7, and we will hear what has famously been called the Sermon on the Mount, or the Beatitudes, and we will also hear an amazing sermon, if you will, on the subject of how to live free from anxiety, which is a great subject for many people in this generation. And then we will end with chapter 7, which gives us powerful message on not judging people, and also presents what has often been called the golden rule. So there's so much rich treasure that we're going to hear today, all from the words of Jesus. And we are beginning at Matthew chapter 5 in the New American Standard Bible, starting at the first verse. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on the mountain. And after he sat down, his disciples came to him. He opened his mouth and began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. For in the same way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything, except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I came to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or stroke shall pass from the law until all is accomplished. Whoever then annuls one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever keeps and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that the ancients were told, "You shall not commit murder, and whoever commits murder shall be liable to the court." But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be guilty before the court, and whoever says to his brother, "You good for nothing," shall be guilty before the Supreme Court, and whoever says, "You fool," shall be guilty enough to go into the fiery hell. Therefore, if you are presenting your offering at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your offering there before the altar and go. First, be reconciled to your brother, and then come and present your offering. Make friends quickly with your opponent at law while you are with him on the way, so that your opponent may not hand you over to the judge and the judge to the officer, and you be thrown into prison. Truly I say to you, you will not come out of there until you have paid up the last cent. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye makes you stumble, tear it out and throw it from you. For it is better for you to lose one of the parts of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. If your right hand makes you stumble, cut it off and throw it from you. For it is better for you to lose one of the parts of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. It was said, whoever sends his wife away, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you that everyone who divorces his wife, except for the reason of unchastity, makes her commit adultery, and whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that the ancients were told, you shall not make false vows, but shall fulfill your vows to the Lord. But I say to you, make no oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is the footstool of his feet, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Nor shall you make an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. But let your statement be yes, yes, or no, no. Anything beyond these is of evil. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist an evil person, but whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. If anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, let him have your coat also. Whoever forces you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to him who asks of you, and do not turn away from him who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? If you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Therefore, you are to be perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Chapter 6. Beware of practicing your righteousness before men, to be noticed by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. So when you give to the poor, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be honored by men. Truly I say to you that they have their reward in full. But when you give to the poor, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving will be in secret, and your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. When you pray, you are not to be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners so that they may be seen by men. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you pray, go into your inner room, close your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. So do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then in this way: Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive others for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. Whenever you fast, do not put on a gloomy face as the hypocrites do, for they neglect their appearance so that they will be noticed by men when they are fasting. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face so that your fasting will not be noticed by men, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So then, if your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light that is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. For this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life, as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food? And the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon, in all his glory, clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you? You of little faith. Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Chapter 7. Do not judge, so that you will not be judged. For in the way you judge, you will be judged, and by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, and behold, the log is in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Do not give what is holy to dogs, and do not throw your pearls before swine, or they will trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, when his son asks for a loaf, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, he will not give him a snake, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give what is good to those who ask him? In everything, therefore, treat people the same way you want them to treat you, for this is the law and the prophets. Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it. Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? So every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then you will know them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. When Jesus had finished these words, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one having authority and not as their scribes. This is the end of today's scripture reading. In today's devotional, I want to talk to you about a subject that Jesus spoke of many times throughout the Gospels, and it's the subject of money. We heard today in Matthew that Jesus specifically said in Matthew 6:19, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasure in heaven." Then in verse 24, Jesus went on to say, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth." And in many of the other translations, it says it this way: you cannot serve God and mammon. And it's important to mention this because mammon was actually a god that was worshipped, and it was from an ancient Chaldean word that meant riches or wealth, but mammon was personified as the god of riches, and it could also mean greed or avarice. So when you hear the word mammon, we're talking about a spirit of greed for money or greed for riches. And it was literally a false god worshipped by the ancient Chaldeans. And that word is carried over, mammon. It doesn't mean just money. It's a spirit of mammon or a spirit of greed for wealth, greed for material things. So keep that in mind as we continue. I want to begin by simply saying that money itself is neither good nor evil. It's just neutral. It is simply a means of exchange. We know that money can be used for good. Money can be used to buy food for a starving child or life-saving medicine for a dying person. Or we also know money has often been used for evil purposes. For example, you could use money to buy pornography or drugs or pay for an abortion or hire a hitman to murder someone. Those are evil purposes for which money has been used. But the money itself is not good or evil. It's simply neutral. But it's the heart intention of the person exchanging the money is what is either good or evil. So keep that in mind as we proceed. Money is not to be demonized as bad. It is simply a neutral means of exchange. God's always interested in the heart intention of the person exchanging the money. Now, we know from the Word of God that God Himself knows we need money. We heard that today in Matthew 6:32. Jesus said with His own mouth, "For your Heavenly Father knows that you need all these things." He knows we need material provision, and He knows in our modern society we need money to exchange for that material provision. But not only does God know we need those things, the Bible also teaches us that God delights to bless His people with financial blessing and with material increase. That is one of the blessings that God pours out. Now, people pursue the material increase in finances in a way that's not a blessing, but let's talk about what God says about it. Proverbs 10:22 says, "It is the blessing of the Lord that makes rich." And He adds, "No sorrow with it." Have you ever seen a person pursue money, pursue being rich, and there's a lot of sorrow attached to his pursuit of money or wealth or riches? Maybe he loses his family as he works so much he never sees them because he's trying to get wealth or trying to pursue riches. When God blesses and makes a person rich, He adds no sorrow with it. God's way of being blessed financially does not bring a curse on your family. It doesn't destroy your family. It is the blessing of the Lord that makes rich, and He adds no sorrow with it. So we have to be able to discern money is not evil, but the pursuit of money can be done in a wrong way. On the other hand, God likes to bless people who love Him with financial increase, and He doesn't add sorrow with it. There's a blessing with it because He knows those people have His heart about money. And then in Psalm 35, verse 27, we will find, and we heard these words, "And let them say continually, the Lord be magnified, who delights in the prosperity of His servant." Again, God likes, loves, enjoys, delights, Psalm 35 tells us, to bless His servant, His person who loves Him, the person who pursues His heart with prosperity. And then in 1 Chronicles 29:12, it says, "Both riches and honor come from Thee." So we can see that God delights to bless His people with prosperity, and He loves to do so, but there's no sorrow, there's no negative side to God's blessing, but there is a negative side to pursuing wealth in an evil way or in a way that's not pleasing to God. It always brings sorrow with it. Now, God is very interested in your heart attitude about money. That is important to know. God's always about the heart. He is always about your heart attitude. He does not want our trust to be in money. When we get to 1 Timothy 6:17, we're going to hear this verse, but I'm going to read it to you out of the New Living Translation. It's excellent. It talks about God not wanting our trust to be in money. It says, "Teach those who are rich in this world not to be proud and not to trust in their money, which is so unreliable. Their trust should be in God, who richly gives us all we need for our enjoyment." So first of all, it shows us he doesn't want us trusting in money or riches, but he also blesses us with material things, with riches, as a blessing for our enjoyment. But God, again, is looking at the heart attitude about money. The second point I want to make about this is that God never wants a person focused on getting rich. 1 Timothy 6:9 tells us, "People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap, and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction." As I said earlier, if you've ever seen somebody who is just bent on making themselves rich, but their focus and their motivation for wanting to become rich is not related to God's will or God's will for the person's life, or it doesn't have a heart that comes from the Lord. I believe that God anoints people who love God to be people who make money. I believe that there are those people who are anointed for that, but their purpose in God, in making money, isn't tied to pleasuring themselves or becoming the wealthiest person so they can show off their wealth. There's motives behind making money, some that are good and some that are bad. And I believe God has people whose anointing and gifting and calling is in the marketplace, is to become leaders in business and leaders in different arenas in the earth today. And with that comes financial increase. But that person whose heart is after God and whose heart is to do the will of God, and if it's the will of God for them to become the greatest business person ever, because God wants to show what it looks like for someone who loves God, serves God, does things in a biblical way, pursues his business with godly principles, I believe God loves to do that. You can see Joseph in the Bible. He rose to the top. He became wealthy, but he was totally focused on obeying God and doing things God's way and having a humble attitude and honoring and serving. And God enriched him and gave him great wealth and power and position. He ends up as the prime minister of Egypt. But his heart attitude was totally about doing things God's way and believing God's word of promise to him. And by doing that, he fulfilled God's will for his life. On the other hand, people who pursue wealth and riches and position and power, who do it because they want to be seen as somebody special and show off, and there's pride in it, that's a completely different heart attitude about money than what I described with Joseph. So I believe God gives certain gifts to people, but I'm telling you, God is always interested in your heart attitude about money. Now, we also have another point that we find in 1 Timothy 6:10. God doesn't want people to love money. 1 Timothy 6:10 tells us, "For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." Remember, I said that when the Lord makes somebody rich, he adds no sorrow to it. There's no sorrow involved when God blesses somebody financially. But when someone lusts after money and they pursue it with a heart of greed and pride, they end up piercing themselves through with many sorrows. It ruins families. It brings them into situations where they make agreements in business or business deals that are done in an ungodly way. And of course, that always has a repercussion, and they end up burned by somebody who wasn't faithful, but they weren't being faithful either in their money with money. And it just ends up in a mess, piercing themselves through with many sorrows. I've seen families that were destroyed because the father pursued money in an ungodly way. He had ungodly business practices. He lusted after money. He spent all his time pursuing money. Then his teenage children ended up getting involved in drugs. They never saw their father, but they had access to money. They weren't taught about how to use money. They used it to have parties and end up drinking binges and then killed in a drunk driving accident, and that family was pierced through with many sorrows because they pursued money with a wicked attitude of heart, not with God's purpose in mind. So God doesn't want you to love money, for the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, and many have strayed from their faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Then the next point that I want to make about this issue of heart attitude about money is that God wants every person to have a contented spirit with regard to money and material possessions, regardless of what season in life you are in. 1 Timothy 6, 6-8 tells us, "Now godliness with contentment is great gain. We have brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content." And then in Philippians 4, 11-13, Paul said these words, "Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned, in whatever state I am, to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I've learned how to be full and how to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." These scriptures speak to us about having a contented spirit with regard to money and material possessions, regardless of what season in life you are. People go through different seasons in life, and if you are pursuing God's will and doing what God wants you to do, there may be a season in your life where you don't have a lot of money, but God is testing you whether you're going to be content and whether you're going to pursue His will regardless of your current financial state. Many people abandon the will of God when they get into financial difficulty, and then they never end up in the place God intended to bring them, because He was bringing them through a testing season, but they didn't pass the test. They abandoned God's will and pursued making themselves financially comfortable because they didn't want to go through that test. And then they never end up in the will of God or the destiny for their life because they abandoned ship, because they were uncomfortable financially or having a hard time at a certain season. Be careful with that. God wants to bless you, but there could be a season when you're experiencing a lot of lack, though you are standing on the Word of God and believing God for His financial provision. Don't abandon the ship of God's will because you're uncomfortable at the moment. Things will change. As long as you stay in the center of God's will, believe His word, trust in Him, and don't try to deliver yourself financially. God wants you to have a contented spirit with regard to money and material possessions, regardless of what season you are in. And then the next point about this issue of heart attitude about money is that God has called us to be cheerful givers. 2 Corinthians 9:7 says, "Each one must do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver." You know, if you have a hard time giving, if you're always trying to hold on to money, a lot of times that's motivated by fear. Fear, I won't have enough if I give. You need to pray for grace from God to be cheerful in giving if you have been having a hard time giving with a joyful heart. Proverbs 3 verses 9 and 10 tells us that God wants us to honor Him with our financial and material resources. In fact, I have a good friend who has taught for years that God gives people financial and material resources in order to use those finances and material resources for worshiping God. He likes to teach that money and wealth has been given by God for the purpose of worshiping the Lord. And we worship God when we honor Him with our possessions, with our money, with our increase that God gives us. And we bring it back to Him and lift it to Him and give it to Him so that our wealth is used for worshiping the Lord. God wants us to honor Him with our financial and material resources. Proverbs 3:9-10 says, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. And then the last point I want to make on this issue of God is very interested in your heart attitude about money is this. God wants us to remember that all financial blessing comes from Him and to never think it was our own doing. In the book of Deuteronomy, you may remember when Moses was speaking to the people just before they were going to go into the promised land, he warned them because he knew when they got into that promised land, they were going to have financial increase, blessings. They're going to be living in houses they didn't build and eating from vineyards they didn't plant. And God was going to bless them so much. That was God's intention to bless them. And it's God's intention to bless you. But He warned them. I like to call this promised land warnings. And if you're in a position financially where you're getting into the promised land season, you're seeing financial increase and blessing coming your way, then this promised land warning is for you. God wants you to remember that all financial blessing comes from Him and never to think it was your own doing. In America, we have this expression that a person pulled himself up with his own bootstraps, meaning he got to where he is in life and in financial security and prosperity by his own efforts. And yet that is a big lie because God is the one who gave the gifting to be able to make money, and we need to remember that. Listen to these words from Deuteronomy, warnings that Moses gave the people before they entered the promised land. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping His commandments, His judgments, His statutes, which I command you today, lest when you have eaten and are full and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and your gold are multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led you through that great and terrible wilderness. And then you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant which He swore to His fathers, as it is this day. This is a very big issue of the heart. God wants you to remember your financial blessing came from Him and to never think it was your own doing. You shall remember the Lord your God. It is He who gives you power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant, which He swore to His father, to your fathers, as it is this day. God wants to make people rich who love Him, who walk with Him, who obey Him. And it's God himself that gives the power to get the wealth that makes a person rich. But the reason or purpose that God explains here in Deuteronomy about why he does that is because God wants to establish his covenant promises in the earth. He wants to show that he is God and that he has a people and his people obey him. He wants to demonstrate that in the earth through people who are enabled by God to be prosperous in the earth. And that is a heart issue. God wants to do that, but he definitely looks for the person whose heart can handle that and will not forget that it's God who gave them the power to get wealth. And the last thing I want to say in addressing this issue in Matthew 6, that no one can serve two masters, for he'll either hate the one and love the other, or be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, or the spirit of pursuit of riches. God wants us operating in our lives under his economic system and not the system of the world, which is dominated by the spirit of mammon, that spirit of greed and lust after money and riches and material possessions. That spirit of mammon is as alive today as it was in the time of the Chaldeans, where they literally worshiped a false god called Mammon and brought sacrifices to him so that they could get power to become rich. That's demonic. It was demonic, and it's still demonic, and it's still operating today. God doesn't want you operating under the world system of finances, which is dominated by the evil spirit of Mammon. That evil spirit of mammon is the dominating influence in the world's economic system. It's based in greed and desire for material possessions. And it also gives people a false sense of security that is based on wealth accumulation. Think about this. Have you ever felt real good when you had a lot of money in the bank and then felt real bad when you had a little bit of money in the bank? There is a reason for that. The spirit of mammon, which influences the world so strongly today, gives people a false sense of security that's based on wealth accumulation. How much money they have in the bank, how much money they have in their retirement account, or whatever. However you count your wealth to be. You know what? All unbelievers, as well as many Christians, are heavily influenced in their financial decisions and in their attitudes toward money by this evil spirit of mammon. And it is totally opposed to God's ordained economic system. God has an economic system, and it's outlined in the Word of God. And I don't have time to get into it further than what we've already discussed today. But understand, God wants you to be influenced by the Spirit of God about money. He wants your heart influenced by the Word of God. He wants your position and your purpose with regard to money to be completely dominated by the Word of God, the Spirit of God, and the leading of God. The world system is influenced by that spirit of mammon, and it's diametrically opposed to God's economic system. God says, give, and it will be given unto you. The spirit of mammon says, hoard, and it will be accumulated unto you, so that you'll have what you need in bad times. That's the spirit of mammon speaking, and there's a lot of people who are afraid to give, and they say they're doing it out of wisdom to protect their family. No, that will bring you into bondage, because anytime you obey the spirit of mammon with regard to your finances, there's no blessing there. But when you obey God with regard to what he says about money, there's always a blessing. Give, and it will be given to you. There's a blessing attached. God says, honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first fruits of all your produce, so that your barns will be filled with plenty. The spirit of mammon says, that isn't even logical. It says, don't tithe, you're going to make yourself poor. the spirit of mammon tells people you can't gain by giving away. You gain by keeping what you have earned. That is a demon, literally speaking, that opposes God's word. God says, blessed is the man who considers the helpless. The Lord will deliver him in the day of trouble. But the spirit of mammon says, don't give to the poor. You're enabling them to stay in their condition, and they probably won't use the money rightly anyway. Think about that. How many times have you thought that when you saw a beggar on the street and you wouldn't give because you think, oh, I'm enabling them to stay like they are and they're probably going to go spend it on alcohol. That's not for you to judge. God says, blessed is the man who considers the poor. God also says there's one who scatters yet increases all the more. And there's one who withholds what is justly due, but it only results in want. The generous man will be prospered, and he who waters will himself be watered, according to Proverbs 11. The spirit of mammon says people who give all their money away are fools and end up in poverty themselves. That's the demon of mammon speaking. All right, that's much more than you probably had time for today, but hopefully you're able to hear this entire devotional, because the subject of money is very important, and the Bible is full of teaching on the subject of money. But my main point is this. Jesus said, don't store up treasure on the earth. Don't do that. Do things God's way. Don't serve mammon, serve God. In other words, serve God with your money. Don't serve the devil and try to pursue money his way. It will always end in great sorrow for yourself and for your family. God is most interested in blessing you, but he's more interested in your heart attitude about money. And if he can trust you that your heart will stay right about money, God himself will pour out more blessing than you can contain. And you can count on that, because that is in the Word of God. God bless you and give you a victorious week.